woman steps into a community and a group of all women. There is just this beautiful opportunity for unraveling and reflection, connection and expansion.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is Leah Drew. She helps people heal from the past, step into their superpower, and unleash their potential and expand their impact. Leah, welcome to the podcast.
It's so good to be here, JP. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to this. And I would always kind of love to start with, how did you end up in this space?
Yeah, so I ended up in this space after realizing that I didn't want to work for anybody else because I didn't want to be put in a box anymore. And I wanted the ability to use all of my tools in all of the ways that I felt called to use them based off of my intuition, based off of connecting with my inner knowledge, my inner guidance, the higher intelligence within me, and really wanted to serve in the way that I felt called to. And at the time when I started along my journey in business, I was really navigating a whole lot of healing, physical, mental, emotional, and energetic healing, and went through my own journey of like needing to shed all the layers, shed all the beliefs, all the emotions that were influencing how I was feeling, how I was thinking, how I was being in the world, healing all the trauma from my past, from my parents' past, from my grandparents' past that was influencing the way that I was showing up, the way that I wasn't using my voice at the time, the ways that I was feeling, and just all the ways that really weren't serving me and becoming the woman that I wanted to be, becoming the leader I wanted to be, becoming the healing guide I wanted to be. And so, you know, as I was finding myself stepping into business, I found this really strong reflection of all of the things that were unhealed and all of the things that I really, I hate the word need, but personally, I really needed to heal and work on in myself so that I could be this person that I am standing in front of you today, so that I could be the woman guiding other women back into themselves and into their power. So I could be the woman supporting men along their healing journey and guiding them back home to themselves so that they can feel and they can experience and they can really get clear on what's out of alignment for them, what doesn't feel good, and where they want to go in their life so that they can really step into what they want to create and how they want to impact the world around them.
Wow, that's so awesome. I got goosebumps just listening to that. It's all my stuff, right? Energy, trauma, beliefs, light workers, leaders, love it. And so you did the work on yourself, felt so good that now you want to give it out and share it to the rest of the people in the world. When you speak of energy, what kind of energy work? Is there anything specific or?
There's a lot of different forms of energy work that I do. I love that you started our call today with visualization and breathing and guiding energy through the body. That's a lot of what I do. And it just depends on how I am serving and who I am serving. Sometimes I'm in a medicine ceremony with psychedelics and the energy comes through my voice and it comes through with how I am sharing my frequencies. Sometimes energy is transmuted through a call with a client where I'm tapping into their energy and I'm guiding them back to their energy. Sometimes I'm working hands-on with a client on my table. I do it mostly to be of service these days. I don't do a whole lot of body work and charge for it. I mostly serve my community, but there are some people that I will offer that service to if they feel called or at a retreat or something like that. And in that situation, I'm working with hands-on energy exchange, listening, communicating, serving, giving, and helping them transmute. And then when we talk about energetics, we're always talking about the electromagnetic field that our body is, and we're always talking about how emotions, wounds, trauma, limiting beliefs, beliefs in general, past experiences, how all of that influences the energy of our physical body, which leads to how our organs can function, how our physical body feels. It leads to how we interact with the world around us in relationships, with ourselves in the mirror, right? With ourselves moving through the world, with our business. Like, energy is everywhere. You are energy and you do not be without energy. Like, it's why you're here. So, you know, I like to talk about energy from a really grounded place. Like, yes, like, it's great to be all the way up in the ethers and like be up in La La Land and like be so connected to the woo-woo. And like, in my opinion, it's really important and grounded in science so you actually understand what it's doing, how it's influencing your body. Yes, 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 yes. I love me some Joe Dispenza. Exactly, right? And so it's so important to understand that and be able to integrate the mind, the body, and the spirit from a very grounded and scientific space while still leaning into the things we don't know and the things that we feel and we sense, but we don't actually fully understand because it can't be grasped, right?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here smiling and loving every word you just said. It's so awesome. It's all my stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
I thought you'd like a Joe Dispenza book I held up there. I ask everyone kind of what's like your mentors and books, and you just hit me like right in the heart with Joe Dispenza, Bruce Lipton, Nicola Bear is good. She kind of seems like she's geared a little bit more towards females, which is totally fine. But yeah, I like all these people, and this is the knowledge, right? It's out there, and if you don't know, you don't know. But once you start reading these books, and for me, what happened is I started hearing, do you know Sadhguru?
I've heard,
Indian
yeah.
Mystic. So yeah. I heard this guy is like a yogi mystic Indian guy. Joe Dispenza, neuroscientist. Jocko Willink is like an army leader. And I started hearing all these people from all different parts of everything. And they're all saying the exact same thing. And I'm like, wow, maybe I should try it. And so I started doing the work. And they was just like, whoa.
Was there someone that you like stumbled across first that was talking about like the energetics that made you be like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah, Dr. Joe, for sure. I was sitting there. I went through a decade of hell. I was taking 33 pills a day. I have a tumor in my spine, couldn't walk, laugh, breathe. And then all of a sudden I hear this guy. And the one thing specifically was that he said, your personality creates your personal reality. And I was like, is that true? Hell yeah, that's true. I'm a miserable person and it's showing up everywhere in my life. And then, yeah, once I got there, Vishen Lakhiani was next and Tony Robbins, all the whole list, right? And it's just almost became a junkie over it. I guess I did become a junkie over all the self-improvement.
It's a good thing to be though, right? It's like once you see it, you can't unsee it. And that's something that it can be really challenging, but I also love it, right? And it applies to every aspect of your life, whether it's personal, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with others, your work life, your spiritual life, like whatever it is, once you see it, you can't unsee it. But that's the gift of awareness because, you know, if you are all of a sudden seeing it and choosing not to do anything about it, like the only person you have to blame is yourself. Like you can't play the victim role anymore.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was a victim and now it's growth. How about you? What was your for energy or for anything?
So this is a little bit more like less on the woo-woo side of things, but the first person that really changed things for me was Carol Dweck. She wrote the book Mindset. And when I was really going through some dark times, this was before I stepped into any personal development work, when like I thought that fitness was the way to personal development and happiness. Yeah. She really was the first one to like hold that mirror up to me and be like, all right, hey girl, what do you got going on here? Like, what is this? What are you thinking? How are you speaking? How are you interacting with the world around you? And what is it, right? Just like Joe says, like your personality creates your personal reality. And it was this really, really stark reflection of my personality and who I was being in that moment in time, so that I could actually see the areas where I was my own worst enemy and I was holding myself back and creating my own problems.
100%. Yeah. And Dweck was one of those too, right? I didn't know what a fixed, or did, sorry, I didn't know what a growth mindset or fixed mindset was. I was just going through it. I thought everyone does. And since then, yes, so much growth, like unbelievable when you look back and review your past year and all that kind of stuff. And for me, it's better now, but at the beginning, it was very lonely. And it was like, nothing, no one changed. I'm the one who changed, right? And so all my friends who are doing the same, whatever, telling the same joke since grade five, I changed. And so I kind of did it to myself, which is fine. I love it. But I'm wondering about you. Did you feel any of that along your journey?
I definitely did. And I think that's a big part of it. Like loneliness, in my opinion, comes in when you start to realize that your external reality and your internal reality are not in alignment and they're not matching. And yeah, I have this activity that I do with my clients that I'll share with you and with the listener. And I always encourage my client to think about themselves in the center of a bullseye, right? And then on this bullseye, there are these rings around you and they start small, right? There's the small rings. And then as you go out, the rings get bigger. And all of the people, places, and experiences in your world fall somewhere on this bullseye. The thing is, only so much can fit on those smaller rings. And those smaller rings are the ones that are influencing you the most and that you are influencing the most, right? There's the most energetic exchange between you and those inner rings. And it requires discernment to determine where things are being placed on those inner rings, right? And like you may have a relationship in your world that you want to keep in your world, but it actually might currently be on the inner ring, but it doesn't belong there. It might belong in one of the outer rings based off of how it's making you feel and how you're interacting with it and how you're influencing it, right? And so what I find is that as you go through the work and as you dive deeper into yourself and as you do the healing and you're in this world, right, of doing the work, you know, you start to realize that things are in the wrong place. And you get to shift them and change them. And I find that process can sometimes be a lonely experience when all these things are moving around and you're feeling yourself distanced from things that used to be so close, but you're like, I don't want them so close, but having them far away feels lonely. And then you get to sit with the feeling of loneliness and you're like, why am I actually lonely? What can I find within myself that brings me love and joy and company and connection, right? And then you go deeper into the work and get to find all these things that actually bring you connection. And through that, you start to find the people, the places, the things that are meant to be on those inner rings. And, you know, the last couple of years for me have been a really deep journey of this. And for a lot of the time in the last couple of years, I felt a lot of that loneliness. And, you know, here and there, I'd meet these people along my journey. I intentionally left home and moved to California unintentionally the day before quarantine, which was a whole thing. Yeah, it was crazy. It was a wild experience. But it was that whole, like, the universe was like, all right, you ripped the rug out. What are we doing now? Let's go, you know? So I got to look at myself and I got to go really deep into my journey. And over the last couple of years, I've met these people that feel aligned, but they're not necessarily like, all of them weren't like my best friends and they weren't people I wanted to be on the inner rings, but they were people that I wanted to be, you know, close by. There's a couple of people I met along the way that I'm like, oh, like you're soul fam. You're on an inner ring for sure. But it actually wasn't until this year that I met, and this was quite recently, actually. This is back in September, the beginning of September, that I actually met like a larger community of people that I immediately was like, you are the people that I've been missing from my life for such a long time. But in order to find them, I had to go through so much to restructure and realign, excuse me, with the things that allowed me to connect with them. Because a year ago, I wouldn't have been ready to connect with them.
Yeah, so much in there, man. Anyone, just go rewind that for the last 2 minutes or so and then play it again because it was so awesome. But your vibe attracts your tribe is one thing that's coming up. A reason, a season, or a lifetime. That's where people come into our lives for a couple different reasons. And then circling back to loneliness, like, so that was the journey at one point. And now I'm further on in that journey. And even though there is a lot less people and I'm physically alone as far as people, I'm not alone at all. There's no loneliness. And It's funny because you could be in a room full of thousands of people and feel alone, or you could be alone and not feel alone at all.
Yeah, I think you bring up a beautiful point there. And this is when I work with clients and when I'm talking to anyone, really, I look at these four pillars, right? You have your health, you have your relationships, you have your work and providership, and you have your spirituality. And I think this is why it's so important to develop your spirituality and your relationship with spirit, whether that be God, source, the universe, whoever you feel called and connected with. When you can develop that within yourself, you realize that you're never actually alone. And especially on the journey of business and entrepreneurship and like doing this work within yourself when you feel sometimes alienated from all those other people, I think that that's so important to remember is that you might feel alone, but you're never actually alone.
Yeah, it's so true. There's a couple of things there, right? Like, so you could feel like you're the only one doing the thing, but really other people are feeling the same way doing, and just because maybe you didn't talk about it, other people are going through the exact same struggle as you are. And so health, relationship, work, and spirituality. That's almost like body, mind, spirit, and finance.
So a little bit different, but it is similar. Yes. And your health is your physical, your mental, your relationships, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with your family, your relationship with your friends and community, right? Your work and providership might be how you're providing for your family, you know, the work that you're engaging with in the world that might be paid or unpaid, right? And then your spirituality gets to be what connects you to source.
That's so magical. And so you went through some crazy journey because you're saying you decided to move to California and you moved there and then COVID happens. Like,
Oh my God, it was wild.
do you want to talk about it or?
Yeah, totally down to
It's
talk about it.
awesome.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. I spent the last couple of months of 2019, I spent in Europe. I was on a little bit of a soul adventure per se, but I was like in this like work to live experience with a company that I'm no longer working with. And while I was in Europe, I just had all these realizations being away from home for 4 months, where I was in Spain for three, the UK for one. I was just like, home is not home anymore. Like, I'm a different person and I don't want to go back and like step back into the same life. About a year and a half, maybe 2 years before that, I started a brick and mortar business. It was all pain management, functional movement, body work. And I was in it for a year and then I left. Because I was like, this doesn't feel right for me. And everyone's like, what do you mean? You're leaving your business. You made almost $100,000. I'm like, it's not right. Like, I don't want this. This doesn't feel good for me. So I left and ended up eventually in Europe, come back. And I'm like, okay, it's time to go. In my last couple of weeks in Spain, I had seen this women's entrepreneurial event that was going on in Orange County, California. While I was in Spain, I signed up for it. I'm like, this is cool. I'm going. I'm going to meet some people. And as the weeks were leading up to the event, I was like, I'm going to move here. I've wanted to live in Cali my whole life. So I went to the event and I was like, I'm Leah. I'm moving here in March or April. It was currently January. I'm moving here in March or April of this year. And I told them who I was and what I did. I ended up moving the beginning of March, Friday, March 13th, 2020. Literally can't make it up. It's a crazy day. And I just remember, like, as I'm packing all of my things and as I'm getting on the airplane, the whole world is literally shutting down. And I'm like, what the heck is going on around me? Like, nobody knew what was the deal was. Nobody knew how long we were going to be shut down. All the toilet paper's coming off the shelves and people are like freaking the F out, right? And I'm over here like, oh my God, I don't know anyone in California. Me and my cat are literally moving across the country. So what was really cool, I moved into a home. It was a community home. I'd found this home on Facebook. I'd met them all on FaceTime once. And I was like, all right, let's send it. So I went. And one of the big things that attracted me to the home was when I FaceTimed them, I could tell that they were burners. And so they were people that, you know, you would normally find at Burning Man. I could tell that, like, I think one of the first things I said to them on the FaceTime was like, wow, this looks like a really great place to take mushrooms. And they were like, yeah, like that's definitely what we do around here. I was like, cool. So this was kind of my step into the world of psychedelics and more like the psychonaut at that point. I had used mushrooms in smaller doses and in larger doses, but not so much in a more intentional way. And so being in this home really exposed me to community living. It exposed me to communication. It exposed me to the light side and the dark side of communication and relating, and just helped me see like what I loved about these people and being in this space, and also what didn't feel aligned for me. And while I was there, over like the 8 months of quarantine, I had no job because the job that I was moving there for was not existing because couldn't work with people in person. And that's what triggered me to start working online and to start finding ways to make money online and start working with clients online, holding space, helping people with their emotional well-being, their physical well-being, so on and so forth. And in the process, I got to play in the psychedelic space with this group of people that really opened me up to what it's like to be self-expressed, what it's like to allow all of me to show, to use my voice, to move my body, to be in whatever I wanted, to wear whatever I wanted. If I wanted to be half naked walking through the house all the time, like I could totally do that. It was welcome there. And it was just this really beautiful opportunity to look at all the ways that I had lived and existed previously and look at the ways that I could. It's like putting a new hat on, right? Like you feel like a different person in a new hat. You get to try a new hat on. And I got to try all these experiences on and look deeper at myself through the lens of psychedelics and realize what felt good for me and what did I want to keep leaning into and what did I not. Eventually, we ended up having some really significant differences around COVID. And I am not someone that likes to feel controlled. Yeah, I know, right? I respect everybody and where they're at with COVID, but the moment that someone tries to control me and how I want to live my life, it becomes a problem for me. So we had some differences and it ended up being time for me to leave. And for years leading up to this moment in time, I was so interested in ayahuasca and I would talk to all my friends about it and I would ask them questions and so interested. And for anyone that doesn't know, ayahuasca is known as the grandmother of psychedelic medicines. It comes from the tree, a tree, a vine. Usually it's mixed together. It's part DMT. And
they're found like 600 miles apart or something, right? Like that's the craziest part.
Yeah, literally. So I move into this new place. I move from Burbank to Culver City. And I move into this place with this guy that I was connected with through a friend who just went through a breakup and he needed someone to move into his home. And so I move in and like the first conversation, one of the first conversations we have, like deep drop in, he's like, yeah, I am a guide for ayahuasca ceremonies. He was a guardian. And so he supports the ayahuasca experience by holding space for the people around him. And I was like, no way. I was like, I've been so interested in this, but people always told me like, wait till she finds you. Wait till she comes to you. And I'm like, man, she literally knocked on my front door. Like I'm living with her. Sick. So I ended up diving into the journey with ayahuasca. Since then, I've sat 6 times, and every time it's just this beautiful reminder to come home, to trust source, how to communicate with source. There's been some really deep trauma healing that's happened in ceremony. It's not always an easy experience, but it's always a really beautiful experience. So that really led me into connecting more with source and realizing that like energetically I needed more space from the city of LA. And I moved down to Huntington Beach for a year and loved it. I always wanted to live in Huntington Beach, California, my whole freaking life since I like walked into Hollister and was like, wow, that place is beautiful. And I ended up there for a year and I said, you know what? I need more space. Like I want more solitude. I wanted the opportunity to be alone with nature. And so that ended up bringing me to Boulder, Colorado after some little detour in Salt Lake City for about 3 months and was like, this place isn't for me. Yeah, I've been all over the place. It's been a journey. But now I'm here. Now I'm in Boulder and I absolutely love it. Like, there's something about being higher up in elevation, physically on your body, yes, but like energetically, there's something about being so much closer to the sun. This place makes me feel alive. There's tons of opportunities for me to be in spiritual community around here, from dance to sound ceremonies to whatever I want to find to, like, I'm an athlete at heart. Like, I love to move my body. And so there's just like endless things to do around here, activity wise as well. And now I have this epic, epic, epic community. Shout out to my Tips and Toes community is what we call ourselves. And yeah, we get to play. There are people that are here to do the work that also want to really play and enjoy life. And so we do all these fun things together, from dancing to going to festivals to taking trips and going snowboarding. And yeah, they're my family. And I am freaking in love with my life and my work and all the things happening in my world right now.
Wow. That's so cool. There's so much in there that, like, I feel like is like perfect timing and just resonates. So first of all, Salt Lake City, my mentor, the guy who's like, he taught me more than anyone else about coaching, about speaking, about holding space. He's from Salt Lake City. He's the person, the only reason I know why it's called grandmother is because of him. So that's crazy. And then as you talk about wearing new hats, and you also said you wanted to get out in nature. So you moved there a day before COVID. I remember that Friday the 13th because the premier of where I live, Ontario, Canada, it would be like a governor or whatever. He came on the news and just said some ridiculous numbers. Like, actually, at that point, we didn't know the numbers. But he came on the news and said, kids aren't going back to school next week. It's over, whatever. It's going to be a while. Go get some groceries. Same thing. Lots of toilet paper, ran out. I started going towards Walmart. My wife showed me this picture. And it was like Walmart shelves, right? And I was like, what's that? She's like, there's no toilet paper on the shelves in Walmart. I'm like, is there a hurricane coming to Florida? Or where is this? She's like, no, that's down the street. I was like, are you kidding? So we switched gears. But I'm in Los Angeles on February 29th. It was a leap year. And March 1st, Saturday, Sunday, I go to this Mind Valley event. And at the time when I traveled to there on the Friday, the 28th or whatever, everything's fine, right? There's this thing in China nobody knows about. It's not here. We're good. By the time I left, 3 days later, they changed the rules for crossing back into Canada. And it was all like crazy, right? But there was this one speaker at the event. She's like Lisa Nichols. And actually, I'm going to tell you another story about her later that might connect to you. But she goes, when you guys leave here, you're going to go out and infect the world. And I was like, there's no COVID, right? It was just like, no, why? And then 2 weeks later, this whole thing happens. And so my story. So that January, I lived in the city my whole life. We just moved just outside the city. We wanted nature, got 4 acres, a pond, trees, amazing. And so then this thing happened 6 weeks after we moved, like this lockdown for however. Here was much more. Toronto was one of the most locked down places in the world for the longest period of time. And it was just such a blessing. Like, I got almost like, you didn't say it, but I'm guessing yours, you took it as like, oh, here's a sign. I'm supposed to be here now. And everything happened perfectly, right? Same with us. We were just like, man, this is it. It's perfect. So I digress.
Yeah. Yes. It was more of one of those like, yes. And I faced a lot of panic and a lot of fear at that time because I wasn't making much money and I wasn't making nearly the amount of money that I had been making previously. And now I'm in a new place with little ability to get a job or go and work somewhere. And so I got to face a lot of those money fears and I got to face a lot of the scarcity fears. But it also, like you said, like it drove me to what I'm doing now. And I am so grateful for that time and that space. Like, moving to LA and not having the stress of this city that moves so quickly for 8 months until I really got to like know who I am in this space was a really cool opportunity that no one is really ever going to have again. You know, like, that's never going to be an experience. Like, chances of LA shutting down like that again are slim to none.
Yeah, maybe LA over Florida a bit more, but no, it's I don't see it happening. It can't, right? It's too much. And then so the girl, Lisa Nichols, go out and infect yourself, she said. But she has this story. And so I'm going to tell you this story, and then I'm going to ask you, because you talked about pain management, you talked about trauma. So her, and if you don't want to talk about it more, it's fine. Her story is this, that picture it as a cake. And so you bake a cake and you stick it in the oven and it's cooking. And if you put your hand in the oven and try to take the cake out while it's still cooking, you're going to get burnt. And even when the cake comes out of the oven and it's sitting there cooling down, if you try to touch it right away, you're still going to get burned, even though it's cooked. So the way you have to do is you have to wait a little while, let the cake cool down, and then you can come back, touch, eat the cake, and it's yummy, right? And so the idea there is, like, if you just quit smoking yesterday, you can't really go out and tell people this is how you quit smoking, or if you're still smoking. And so with the pain management, the trauma, if you're not far enough removed from it, that's fine. And if you don't even want to go there, that's fine. But I'm sensing that something happened to make you, not make you, but to help you do this and get in this space where you want to help people heal from their past trauma and step into their superpower.
Totally. Yeah. I'm always happy to talk about my past experiences and how I've moved through my trauma. There's been a lot of trauma for me in my world, not just in my life, but in my lineage, there's been a lot of trauma and a lot of people being muted, not speaking up, a lot of abuse, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, physical abuse in my family history. And growing up, there was a lot of emotional dysregulation in my household. There was a lack of communication. My parents should never have been married. Both of them will tell you that. And it led to a lot of stress on me and my brother. And when my parents split, my dad remarried. Now there's a whole lot of stress trying to reintegrate six children together. And that led to a whole lot of mental emotional challenges. I ended up experiencing at 16, I found out I had a pancreatic tumor the size of an orange. You mentioned you had a tumor as well. And that really changed my life in a lot of ways. And there was a lot of sexual wounds. There was sexual trauma in my life. For a really long time, I thought that love was experienced through sex because I never felt and got to witness like healthy love in partnership and a dynamic. And it was really hard for me, right? So there's a lot of trauma around that. There's the sexual trauma. I have had a lot of women in my life really betray me and hurt me. And I understand now that a lot of that was because of their own feminine wounds and their own unhealed trauma. And that's a big reason why I'm so passionate about bringing women together in spaces these days, because we heal in community. Like that's how we heal. Men with men, women with women, and in co-ed communities as well. But there's something really magical that happens when a male steps into a group in a community of males and a woman steps into a community and a group of all women. There is just this beautiful opportunity for unraveling and reflection, connection and expansion. And so yeah, so over the years, I had a lot of trauma in friendship, a lot of trauma in sexual relationships, a lot of trauma with my physical body. There was so much mental, emotional trauma that was unhealed and unresolved and unprocessed that led me to having a lot of physical pain in my body, herniating discs in my lumbar spine. I experienced really severe gut health issues, chronic health symptoms like IBS and Crohn's-like symptoms. I at that point in my life was like really against diagnoses, and so I refused to go to the doctor, which wasn't always necessarily the best decision. I wouldn't encourage that. I now understand that there's an opportunity to go to the doctor, hear what the doctor says, and also be discerning about what's best for you, and not necessarily take the way that the doctor tells you. Get to discern like what do you feel is right, right? What's best for your body, and you get to make that decision. But yeah, there's been a lot of pretty traumatic experiences that have happened to me. College was brutal on me. I would not ever want to relive my college years again. But again, it helped me in so many ways. And I would not be who I am today without all of those experiences. So yeah, like There's, I mean, I could probably touch on a big T or a little T trauma, like in most areas of life. But I know how to work with them now and hold them and process them and release them. And that's why I'm standing here today without pain, without chronic health symptoms, without severe stress, anxiety, and depression. And like why I'm able to, even in the darkest times of my life, like this summer, I went through 3 months of one of the darkest depressions of my entire life. I came off social media, so I didn't even have social media or scrolling to distract me from everything that was happening within me. For 3 months, I was burning my life to the ground, and I knew I needed to do it. I knew that all these things weren't working for me anymore. And I was like, every day I woke up, I would do my practices, all these things that help regulate my nervous system and support me. And I still had this knowing where I was like, I have to be in this. I have to be in this darkness, and I have to work with this depression. It is meant to be here right now. And even in that time of my life, I was still able to see so much beauty, to see so much of the areas where my life was abundant and connect with that gratitude and joy. Even though it was so dark and challenging, like the beauty was still there.
Yeah. Gratitude is the huge part of it. So thank you for being vulnerable, first of all. That's huge. And I kind of asked you because I felt like that's where you're going. We're like, this is where I was, but now you're saying you're an athlete and all this. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. And I know exactly because I was exact same way. I was 33 pills a day. Like what?
So much.
Why would you do that to someone?
Was it pain medications that you were taking, or what was the
first is for pain, and then you become depressed, so this is for depression, and then you can't sleep, and this one covers that one, and then blah, and then it's like, what the?
Yeah.
And that was another turning point when you asked me earlier what was the turning. That was one where I had Dr. Joe said, stop giving your power to the doctor. And I'm like, that's what I'm doing, man. He's a doctor. I'm just eating this stuff because. But it doesn't just mask your pain. It doesn't get rid of your pain. It masks it. But it doesn't just mask your pain. It also masks your soul. And so, yeah, again, thank you for being vulnerable. Because I felt like that's where it was, like, you were there, now you're here. That's why I want to start with that Lisa Nichols story. Because sometimes we are still too close to it. But I'm so happy that it's turned out the way it did for you.
I'm happy you're here, too. Look at you now.
Yeah, I ran 2 marathons this year.
Cool. Hell yes.
And that's the guy's cool. Like, oh, you're never going to walk. You're never going to have kids. My kid just turned 9 years old. Like,
oh, that's so incredible.
Right. So it's crazy. So we do. We give our power away. And again, to echo what you said about, yeah, go get the diagnosis, but maybe there's another option, right? You don't have to just. And the thing with doctors, like I'm not, I probably sometimes get off on the doctors and it probably sounds like I don't like. It's not that. It's just they're so busy. We can learn more about our own disease in 10 minutes because we're playing on Google. They got to see hundreds and hundreds of patients. They got about 4 minutes with each patient. So plus some of the stuff they're learning is from like 30, 40 years ago, which I know people like Bruce Lipton have changed the whole game, right?
So much. Oh, my God. Bruce Lipton is one of my favorite human beings. Just the study of epigenetics and how that influences your body and your genetic expression and yeah, your environment dictates who you are and how you live and how you get to be. But it's been a beautiful journey, and
the book coming out.
It's in the process. Podcasting was like the first, like, oh man, I need to do this right meow. but it's been really fun. And yeah, I would definitely love to write a book at some point in my life. I'm not there yet. It's percolating. It is.
Yeah.
But
percolate. Can we talk about your Mirage membership to connect, reflect, and expand into the most confident and powerful version of you?
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is a new baby for me. I'm so freaking excited about this membership because, as we talked about a little bit earlier, we heal in community. Without community, you cannot heal to the depths of which you would heal on your own. And that's because through others, you get to see yourself in a different lens. Through others, you get to learn about yourself. You get to be reflected to. You get to really step into and own and embody and like see the parts of yourself that maybe you wouldn't have seen if you were by yourself, right? How you act and interact and communicate and feel around different people. And so you need community for that deeper healing, and you cannot get to the next level in your life without looking within, without going within first. You cannot expand outwardly, because if you don't go in and take down those walls, there's no space to keep expanding. So I also support men. Right now, I'm only supporting men in one-on-one containers. And I also have another program that's like my baby, that's been a live group program that's coming later on this year. It's called the Mind Body Initiative. Be on the lookout for that. But I have felt so called to keep bringing women together. And I've been doing that over the last couple months, but I've really felt the need to have a space where women can come. They can dive into the embodiment work. They can dive into their feminine wounds. They can look at these things that have influenced them in holding themselves back, in keeping themselves small, in preventing themselves from speaking up and using their voice and being in all of their bigness. And so this membership is here to support conscious-led women as they reflect on themselves, their past, they connect with their sisters, and they get to expand into their most confident, most powerful version of themselves. And the way that I toot my own horn a little bit, but like I just love the way that I host group experiences, especially online, because yes, we all would prefer an in-person experience, and you know, rather there be something rather than nothing, right? And what I've found is that when I host experiences online, I have a really unique way of connecting people into themselves, into embodiment practices first, and then bringing them into connection in a group sharing space, and then dropping them in deeper one-on-one. So now they've already felt like they're welcome, that they're accepted, they're in a space that's holding them, and then they're more likely to open up and go a little bit deeper and be able to reflect deeper on themselves. And so the way that I've done this membership and is I have two calls during the month. One of them is an embodiment and an educational workshop. And so it's really self-reflective. That's where you're looking at yourself. You're going deeper into you and you're looking at the walls that you might have put up. And then the other call is called a tea talk, because I absolutely love tea. And I don't have it right now, but I usually have a really epic mushroom mug that I'm drinking out of when I'm on podcasts. And so, yeah, that second call is in a place where women can come. They can enjoy their favorite warm, nurturing beverages, and they get to dive deeper into one-on-one connection with their sisters in community so that they can be supported, be seen, be held, and step into those reflections that they're receiving from others so that they can grow and expand. So,
wow. Yeah, this is awesome. I guess as we begin to wind down, if this episode resonates with you, please like, subscribe, share, leave us a review, but no hard sell. And if you think Leah can help you and you want to learn more, you can reach out to her. And Leah, I always ask everybody, this is the Phase 4 podcast and Phase 4 in the 6-phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani. It's all about creating your future 3 years out. And so I guess my question would be, where is Leah 3 years from today?
Ooh, that's a juicy question. Ooh, 3 years from today. Well, I'm really rising into higher levels of leadership right now. And my goal is to foster larger containers for more people. I've had a dream of hosting a very conscious festival meets personal development event for a long time now. I have so many people that just have so much to offer, and I want to bring them all into the same space where we can connect with nature, and dive deeper into the healing, the growth, the celebration, the dance, like just the movement, the play, all of it. So that's a vision that I have over the next couple of years. And I'm really also extremely passionate about making sure that children have the tools that they need before they actually need them. And that is one population that I see needs significant amounts of support. The other one is the people that are more middle-aged, like 20s, 30s, 40s, that have an opportunity to shift the way that they're showing up in the world by shifting themselves and get to be a leader in the world so that they can create change. Maybe before they have kids, maybe after they have kids, they choose that they want to raise their children a little bit differently. But as you do that deeper work within yourself, you get to opt into being a leader for the world around you. And so 3 years from now, I really see myself making really large scale impacts in the world around me, using my voice, getting on stages, stepping into corporate spaces where I can work and target that like 9-to-5 population, the people that are like here that don't even know that there's another way to live, and really targeting the young kids, like trying to get these mindfulness tools into every single school system so that the kids don't feel helpless. They feel like they can be empowered in supporting themselves. So I don't know exactly where that takes me. Sometimes I have a really difficult time being like, that's the exact thing I'm going to be doing 3 years from now, because it usually never looks anything like you think it's going to. But I have these really big, beautiful intentions to use my voice to carry my medicine and to impact both of those populations in a way that can create massive impact and massive change in the world around us.
Yeah, wow, that's powerful. I love it. Is there a specific age group? Like the kids, the younger ones?
The sooner the better. I mean, I think about, you know, being a kid and I'm like, okay, I spent every single day, the first 5-10 minutes of the day, standing up, singing the Pledge of Allegiance, and then listening to these ridiculous announcements on the loudspeaker. And I just always go back to, imagine if that time and space was actually intentionally held for children to drop into their feelings, to drop into their emotions, to understand what's coming up for them, to understand their body, find their breath, bring calm to their body. Like, kids go through so much. There's so much happening in their cute little minds. And so, like, if we can teach them to be with it rather than avoid it and be distracted by it, oh my God, like, I think that the world around us would be an extremely different place.
Yeah, it's such a good point. And especially now with, like, things like social media, not even to mention foods, but just, like, watching other people, like, that guy got 1 million likes or whatever, right? And then this kid's depressed, or watching the dude in his Ferrari and, like, that guy has problems. He's just not showing you that, right? So, but the kids are going through thinking that they don't. I just watched this show. Good tip, or good one for anyone. There's a YouTube channel called Big Think, and it's got amazing, like, some of the world-leading scientists, experts, and all different topics, lots of mindfulness. But there's this thing called collective illusion. And the idea of collective illusion is that we look at something and we think that's the way it is, so we just kind of follow it. Meanwhile, we don't feel like that. We don't want it, and it's not us. We don't believe it. We're just doing it because everyone else is doing it. But the thing about collective illusion is that nobody wants it. Everyone's just following everyone else. And it's like, oh my God.
It's crazy. Right. And that's where that whole, like, relationship with yourself, communication with yourself, and discernment within yourself is so, so, so important. Because without that, you just follow the crowd. You follow societal conditioning. You do what someone else tells you to do rather than what is best for you to do. So, you know, if that's something that I can leave your listener with, is, like, you know, just inviting you to take a step back and to look at the things that don't feel good in your life and looking at, where did you learn that? And how do you want to feel in that? And what can you do to shift based off of what you want and how you want to feel? How can you make that more you rather than more someone else?
100%. And just, like, it doesn't take a lot, right? It takes getting quiet, shutting everything out. You said you did this earlier in the summer where you didn't have socials. And yeah, there's going to be ups and downs because all these different thoughts and feelings are coming. But as long as you just kind of go through it and move through it, everything will be okay. It's when you try to trap them down and, I don't like this feeling, I'm going to go drink or do drugs or have sex or go to the gym or whatever it is to escape from that. Then, man, once you get quieter with yourself, all of a sudden, especially if you ask for answers, they start to come.
They do come. I always say there's a little quote that I like to live by, is if you can't, what's the exact quote? To find answers and to have answers, you have to live with the questions.
Perfect. I think before I ask my final question, is there anything you want to leave the viewer with? I know you just mentioned one, but anything about your business, yourself, or any messages, whatever you want.
Yeah, I just want people to know that I love human beings. Like, human connection is what lights me up. And so just want to invite anyone that's listening to step into my world, regardless of whether you come in and you work with me or whether you don't. You know, like, I invite you to reach out, have a conversation with me, react, respond to my stories. I'm on Instagram a whole lot. I do some live coaching on Facebook. I just would love for you to come in and be a part, because through me and through the rest of my community, you'll have the opportunity to gain reflections on yourself and heal and grow in so many beautiful ways. And so, just would love to connect with each one of you. And it's been amazing being here and connecting with you, JP, and just like, love this conversation. I love the alignment that we have on so many of the ways we think and the way that we've moved through our lives, the way that we've healed our bodies, and the way that we're here to inspire others. And so just like, so grateful for the work that you're doing in the world and the messages that you're sharing and that you're highlighting, because they're making a huge difference. So thank you for being a reflection to those around you and stepping into your leadership opportunities.
Thank you. I appreciate those kind words. And so my final question is always, how can people reach you and reach out to Leah and have that conversation? And she's going to tell you where you can reach it.
Yeah, come hang out with me. On most social media accounts, you can find me at Mind Body with Leah. And on Facebook, I'm Leah Drew. I will send you all those links. And then you can check out my website, leahdrew.com. And you can find me in all the places, all my offerings, all my free things. You can find it all on my website. And I'm looking forward to connecting with you.
Right. Leah, I'm so grateful for your time today. This was an awesome conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, JP. It was a pleasure being here.